Here in the Vatican, Pope Benedict has urged the bishops of South Korea to help their flock resist the lure of materialism and the negative effects of a secular mentality. His remarks came when he received the bishops of Korea at the end of their ad limina visit, together with the apostolic prefect of Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Chris Altieri reports.
Pope Benedict XVI began his remarks to the gathered bishops by noting what he called the remarkable progress the Church has made on the Korean Peninsula and in Central Asia since the arrival of missionaries in the region over 400 years ago, and their return to Mongolia just 15 years ago.
This growth is due in no small part to the outstanding witness of the Korean martyrs and others throughout Asia who remained steadfastly faithful to Christ and his Church. The endurance of their testimony speaks eloquently of the fundamental concept of communio that unifies and vivifies ecclesial life in all its dimensions.
Drawing on the Gospel according to John, which contains numerous exhortations to abide in the love and truth of Christ that evoke the image of a sure and safe dwelling place, the Holy Father said the evangelist also had to urge his communities to remain in that love, for already some had been enticed by the distractions which lead to interior weakness and eventual detachment from the communio of believers.
This admonition to remain in Christ's love also has a particular significance for you today. Your reports attest to the lure of materialism and the negative effects of a secularist mentality. When men and women are drawn away from the Lord's dwelling place, they inevitably wander in a wilderness of individual isolation and social fragmentation, for it is only in the Word made flesh that the mystery of man truly becomes clear.
The Pope said the bishops must strive to ensure that the bond of communion which unites Christ to all the baptized is safeguarded and experienced as the heart of the mystery of the Church, if they are to be effective shepherds of hope.
With their eyes fixed on the Lord, the faithful must echo and use the martyr's cry of faith, "We know and believe the love God has for us." Such faith is sustained and nurtured by an ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ, who comes to men and women through the Church, the sign and sacrament of communion with God and of unity among all people.
The Holy Father said the gateway to this mystery of communion with God is baptism, which is the initiative of God, and far more than a social ritual or welcome into a particular community.
Souls reborn through the waters of new life enter the door of the universal Church and are drawn into the dynamism of the life of faith.
The Pope said he shares the concern many of the bishops expressed regarding not a few of the numerous adults received into the Church in their region every year who fail to maintain a commitment to the full participation in liturgical celebrations, which is a right and obligation by reason of baptism.
Your programs designed to highlight the importance of the Sunday Mass should be infused with a sound and stimulating catechesis on the Eucharist. This will foster a renewed understanding of the authentic dynamism of Church life among your faithful. I join you in urging the laity, and in a special way the young people in your region, to explore the depth and breadth of our Eucharistic communion. Gathered every Sunday in the Lord's house, we are consumed by Christ's love and truth, and empowered to bring hope to the world.
The Holy Father also discussed the need to form and sustain persons in the consecrated life whom he called witnesses and artisans of that plan of communion which stands at the center of history according to God, and to whom he sent his appreciation of the prophetic contribution they are making to ecclesial life in their respective countries. The Pope also stressed the importance of marriage and family life, saying the bishops' efforts in this field stand at the heart of the evangelization of culture and contribute much to the well-being of society as a whole.
This vital apostolate in which many priests and religious are already engaged rightly belongs also to the laity. The growing complexity of matters regarding the family, including the advances in biomedical science, about which I spoke recently to Korea's ambassador to the Holy See, raises a question of providing appropriate training for those committed to working in this area.
The Holy Father asked the bishops to convey to their people his particular gratitude for their generosity to the Universal Church, saying both the growing number of missionaries and the contributions offered by the laity are an eloquent sign of their selfless spirit. The Pope also said he is aware of the practical gestures of reconciliation undertaken for the well-being of those in North Korea and encouraged the initiatives and invoked Almighty God's providential care upon all North Koreans.
Throughout the ages, Asia has given the Church and the world a host of heroes of the faith who are commemorated in the great song of praise, Te Martyrum Candidatus, Laudat Exercitus. May they stand as perennial witnesses to the truth and love which all Christians are called to proclaim.
Bishop John Chang of the Diocese of Chungcheong is president of the South Korean Bishops Conference and chairman of their Commission for Reconciliation with People in North Korea. He told Philippa Hitchin about his church's efforts to support their brothers and sisters inside the isolated communist state, which has been cut off from the South since the end of the Korean War in 1953.
Well, I have the jurisdiction on paper, but in matter of fact, no real contact to single Christians or Catholics in the North. And sporadically, I managed to go there, quite rarely actually, But it's difficult to have real contact with the faithful in the north of that part of my jurisdiction, Ochuko. That's to the east, northeast of the country, it's a rather vast area, mountainous area. But as I said, not really a free access.
You say your bishop's committee works towards the goal of reconciliation. What kind of work can you do? What can the church do, perhaps, to support this effort towards reuniting the two Koreas?
Well, I think we distinguish between the political system and the people, and we try to meet the immediate needs of the people in most need as far as we can. Each diocese sets apart about 1% of its budget to offer humanitarian aid to the North, and sometimes far more than 1%. That's one thing. There are also religious communities and groups that do make their effort on their own, and the Bishops' Committee tries to grasp what is all going on and how to assess and coordinate this and how to look for really meaningful ways to offer real aid to the North rather than approach it politically.
There do seem to have been some signs of hope on the political level, don't there? The recent meeting between the two leaders, a new rail link between the two parts of the country. What kind of hopes do you have that this will be leading slowly towards the goal of opening up the North?
Well, the government of the North, I think it's facing rather serious difficulties in all fronts. And the south, from the southern side, the present government is very anxious to establish peaceful ways of finding reconciliation and achieving ultimate unity. So they are trying to lay out some plans which may or may not be carried out in full in the near future. But anyhow, railway is not going to be opened so fast. I mean, it takes a lot of also doing. Proposing ideas and general lines is necessary, but implementing is another matter which it takes a lot of real work, I think.
There are many families, aren't there, divided by this DMZ, the demarcation line. What contact do they have across the border with each other?
They do not have free contact. We estimate that somewhere near 7 million people, north and south, are members of separated families, and there is also a considerable number of abroad, for example, immigrants in the U.S. who are from the north who haven't been able to meet their family freely. So the two sides have agreed to sporadic meeting, more symbolic meeting, at certain places of very limited number of people, like 100 or 200 people. When you consider the very huge number, something in the order of 7 million, and many of them aging very fast, so they might pass away before they ever manage to meet each other. But there is no freedom of movement into the north, nor movement from the north into the south among the families. So it's a very sad and serious situation.
There has been a little effort, hasn't there, by the North Korean government to encourage some limited tourism across the border?
Yes, there are a couple of sites, and there's one more perhaps going to be opened up in the north, near the border, near the Chinese border on the mountain. But it's a fairly well-controlled access, and of course there are lots of people who are anxious to set foot somehow on that side, so they can have some sense of having been to that part, you know. But it is quite controlled and limited up to now. We hope it opens up to a much more, how shall I say, open access and greater freedom of movement in the future, but up to now it hasn't been realized.
You say that the church is helping to run humanitarian projects, doing what you can to support people there. How difficult is life for most people there in the north? How serious is the humanitarian situation?
Well, in the capital city of Pyongyang, which is more a showcase city, it's not so apparent, but if you go into the countryside, the situation can be quite dramatic. It's very serious, yes, in some parts.
Your own church down in South Korea is growing very fast, isn't it? How do you explain this, and what do you see perhaps as the biggest challenges facing your church in the south?
That's a very difficult question. Why the church has been growing rather well in our country, we can't reduce it to some simple reasons. I think there's a whole large number of different reasons why it happened. I think we have this heritage of lay involvement in the church right from the start of our history. So the people and the faithful feel this is their church. They feel responsible and they feel really deeply involved in making this church a living community. That's one thing. They have a sense of mission, having to share their faith with other people. It's very strong. That's one thing. And there have been some exemplary faith Catholics who have set good examples around them, besides, of course, the martyrs who have offered their lives to witness to the faith. And I think in general, because the church still enjoys a very high degree of esteem from the people for its integrity and its impartial, how shall I say, in concern for the good well-being of the people rather than being in any way caught up in a partisan dispute. People still do trust the Catholic Church by and large, I should say, thanks to God.
Speaking recently to the new South Korean ambassador, Pope Benedict raised his concerns about the scientific, pioneering scientific work that goes on in South Korea. How much is the church able, perhaps, to voice its ethical concerns in this area?
Safeguarding life and
Exactly. Dignity
of life. We are very actively involved, not just voicing it, but we are also mounting major efforts at research for viable ways which do not raise ethical problems. So the Catholic medical schools and hospitals are of very good quality, and they are mounting very active researches into other types of stem cells, rather than embryonic stem cells. And we are funding researches. We are getting considerable results from these researches. So that's one thing, that's the medical scientific side. There's also this side of trying to involve people in having a wholesome outlook on the whole question of life. So we're laying a great emphasis on life movement, what we call, which is not just medical or biological. It involves the family, first of all, because the collapse of the family is, I think, at the root of a lot of our ills in society. So it's an integral look at the family and at life as a whole. I think we're trying to uphold and promote those values.
That was Bishop John Chang, president of the South Korean Bishops' Conference, speaking there to my colleague, Philippa Hitchin.